This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Is it time already? Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And, well, of course, we talk about the outdoorsman stuff. Fishing, hunting, crabbing, the great outdoors, firearms, general assembly, wildlife, whatever under those topics you'd like to talk about, we'd like to talk about with you. And when I say we, I mean the one and the only, the very unique young lady I'm going to marry. Her name is Robin. She will be joining us this morning. She is joining us in studio this morning.
As long as I stay awake.
As long as you stay awake. And that's that may or may not work. So, how was your week?
My week was wonderful.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. I got to take you hunting.
Oh, good grief. Yeah, you did the hunting, all right. I did the wildlife observation. That's for sure. You're talking about our trip to Columbia?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alan went on a whole new kind of hunt.
We went to, maybe you've seen this place on TV, Curvaceous Couture in Columbia.
Used to be on Curvy Brides was the television
Curvy Brides, is that the name
TLC.
Of it? Yeah, well, you are definitely a Curvy Bride. No question about that.
Thanks, babe. But yes,
yeah.
That is a good thing.
And you picked up, I mean, you tried.
Tell them what you want hunting for.
I'm building the story. Don't just cut to the chase.
Keep going.
So anyway, having sat through, a couple of hundred, say yes to the dress, and a couple of hundred, what's that? Four Weddings and a Funeral?
No, it's just four. That's a movie.
Oh, what is it called?
Four Weddings.
Four Weddings?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Endless supply of those. And, and then the show Curvy Brides and all this stuff. I mean, she's retraining her mind to think nothing but wedding. Wedding only.
I was never getting married again.
Wedding.
It was.
She's
out of my
reprogramming.
Wheelhouse.
So anyway, we went to Curvaceous Couture, and she was hunting for the perfect dress.
And he sat there while
I sat there and played video slot games. There's no TV. There's just a big mirror, a couple of curvy couches. Purple, if I remember right.
I think so.
And
I should have taken a picture of you there. That's one thing I didn't do.
No, I took plenty of pictures of you, though, in all those god-awful dresses.
They were very nice dresses.
Some of them were.
And those women were very, very nice.
The women were very professional, very nice young ladies that were there.
And they found what I wanted.
And they found your perfect dress.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. And I was very impressed with that. Now, there were a couple, you got to admit.
They weren't me.
I'm going to put them on our website.
No, you're not.
Why? Mm-mm. Well, if they were that great, why?
You don't have to worry about seeing the woman when we get married either. You put them on the website. No, they did. It was a new girl that was there, and she found the perfect dress.
Yep.
We tried on a whole bunch of ones that would have looked wonderful on somebody else, but
That first one was a fail. No question about it. The one you texted to some stranger?
Oh, no, no. That was one of the second or third one.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the fail.
No,
but anyway.
No, it was one that made me look like a tulip.
The tulip dress? Oh, that one.
That one,
oh, geez, nice.
And I tried to text it to myself, but I have a new phone number for the business.
And you were only off by one number.
I was only off by one number, but I said it somewhere out there in La La Land, and the person replied, said it was a nice dress.
Nice dress.
So
anyway, 410 WCBM 680 is our phone number. I'm glad you found a dress.
I'm very, very, very happy with it. I didn't think I'd find anything exactly what I wanted.
But you did.
And I did.
And it's sparkly.
It is really sparkly.
410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We also started a new business, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We did.
We are now official.
Official. Official, official.
Even the government says we're official.
With the state and the federal government and the bank, and we're good to go. Should I announce it? Since we're official, why not?
You go right ahead.
All right. Well, let me preface this by saying I've always been interested, and I've had these events in the past. When I used to do the shows back in the 90s, I did a couple of shows called Buck Fever. Maybe some of our listeners will remember that. We used to do those at the Howard County Fairground, and we'd always set up these boards, and we'd bring deer heads in, and we'd have official scorers there, and, you know, people that were qualified, and they would, you know, measure the deer antlers and so forth and put them up on the board, and at the end of the show, we'd give away awards, you know, first, second, third place, trophies and things like that. Well, I've always enjoyed that type of thing. In Maryland, there's what's called the Maryland Trophy Deer Contest, and you can see that online and so forth. But over the past couple of years, they have moved the main event for the Maryland Trophy Deer Contest first to Charles County, the Charles County Fairgrounds, a couple of years ago, and then they've moved it over the past 3 or 4 years to St. Mary's County Fairground. Well, that kind of eliminates people from the Lower Eastern Shore and, you know, Western Maryland and so forth to take their deer down there on a particular weekend during the summertime to a show, you know, for the recognition and so forth. I mean, they had a relatively successful run until last year when the event was scheduled for the 4th of July weekend. And people had other plans. So I haven't seen this anywhere. I haven't seen it on the website. I have no official word, but several close people to the Maryland Trophy Deer Contest. There's been no announcement of it. It's not anywhere that you can find. There is no finale this year at that show in Southern Maryland. It's mid-August or something. So if something changes, of course, I'll be more than glad to correct the record. But we also heard, again, through several sources, that there wasn't going to be a trophy deer contest for a couple of years. Why? I don't know. Again, this is third-hand information, but it comes from a very reliable source. It's very close to the contest. So I'll just leave it at that. So we had talked about this with the directors and so forth in the Maryland Hunting Coalition about starting our own basically scoring enterprise to get attention for the coalition. You know, we could get this. I mean, this universally connects people that are, you know, deer hunters across the state, whitetails, sika deer and, you know, lower shore, bear hunters from across Maryland, but in particular Western Maryland. And, you know, we talked about establishing this program through the coalition. Well, when we learned this information about the Trophy Deer Contest, Robin and I talked, and we said, you know, let's start a business. And the business enterprise is to score deer, score bears, and give people the recognition that they really deserve. And do it bigger, better, more of it, wider spread, include more people, include bears, and that type of thing. So we started a business called Bucks, Bears, Stags.
Representing Maryland's finest.
Recognizing Maryland's
Take
finest.
On it.
That's all right. It's early. Recognizing Maryland's finest. Hey, two words out of three, not bad.
Yeah,
and
no.
It started with an R. It's good. Recognizing Maryland's finest. So that business is up and running. We're official. And we have, you know, our federal EIN number, and we're recognized by the state. We have a website. Well, there's nothing on the website except a domain name right now. So all this is very new, very exciting this week. So
it's going to be really nice.
Yeah. Yep. So you know, we'll be looking shortly. We'll be looking for those folks who've taken a nice bear, a nice sika deer, a nice white-tailed deer here in Maryland, and we'll be putting the details out in the quarterly, and then, you know, we'll be advertising in various places, and we'll have a Facebook page and a website and all that stuff. But as it goes, we'll tell you more about it, that's for sure. So I'm pretty excited about that. And what else? What else happened? Oh, just on our way this morning, you know, we're thinking nor'easter, nothing's going to be out. We'll never see a deer on the way. Thank God we didn't.
Especially on the Easter Shore. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible rain. Deluge, basically. But as we got off of 50 onto Ritchie Highway on the exit ramp.
Yes, right in the middle of the exit ramp.
Right in the middle of the exit ramp. Two young foxes ran right across the road in front of us. I mean, they were litter mates, obviously. They weren't that big.
They were kind of playing.
They were just playing. Yeah, it was fun. But it actually
doubled my amount of fox I've ever seen in my life, and even living on the Eastern Shore.
Really?
And mom being on 15 acres.
So, well, then what you either there's a lack of foxes or.
I don't pay enough attention.
You heard it from her mouth, folks.
I pay a lot more attention now. I've become just about as good at you as spotting deer on the side of the road. Just about. I didn't say as good.
You're pretty good. Phone number 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Hey, this is the last week. We want to tell you about Papa John's Farm. Maybe you saw them in the news this week. Papa John's Farm's been sold to the county. They're going to be building a school there. I think they'll still be in business next year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know. But, yeah, the county's made it. The agreement has been there. I don't think the money's changed hands yet. But, look, it very simple. Here's the message. Get your corn and your tomatoes and your melons at Papa John's Farm. I mean, that's all you need, really. And now I'll do the commercial. Summer's the time, you know, for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips and reunions and all that stuff. Summer's time for corn on the cob and fresh tomatoes and cold, juicy melons, that's for sure. Now, the Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they have a unique idea. Take home some of their corn. When you steam your crabs, throw some corn cobs, you know, some corn on the cob in the crab steamer. Load it up with crab seasoning and let her steam with the crabs. Does that
awesome.
Sound good? That thing comes out of there with crab seasoning on there, and you slather that with butter, and anyway. Hey, look, if you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, head to Schillinger Papa John's Farm in Severn. They have an enormous produce barn. They have super sweet corn that they grow themselves, their own homegrown tomatoes ready to go, their squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, green beans, cucumbers, all the fruits like peaches and plums and more, mouth-watering cantaloupes, and those scrumptious sweet watermelons. Seedless and seeded, I might add. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97 at exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. That's 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday, Saturday, 9 to 7, Sunday, 9 to 6. That phone number, 410-969-8810. Go get yourself a bunch of corn for your church picnic or your family reunion or your firehouse bash. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
How high's the water, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. Well, we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising.
I think that's about what we have on these, I'm sure.
I can say that in front of my house it was ankle deep. That's right.
You measured it with your ankles.
3 feet high and rising. I thought I was
a little Johnny Cash. Yeah, I think that water. I think that water in that song gets to 5 feet high and rising before, you know. But I hope it's not that way in your neighborhood. What was a cop car doing at the creek today?
I don't know, but he was right in the middle of Route 50 and just stopped.
That was pretty weird. The guys in the right, cops in the right lane stopped. Lights flashing. No vehicle pulled over. He's in the center of the lane. I didn't see any water on the road, but maybe there was a hole and he was covering it up. Maybe if he has nothing to do the rest of the day, he can go out and dig it again and then fill it up again. But it was disarming to see that, you know, ahead of you, you're moving over to the left and you're thinking he's got somebody pulled over. Nope, right in the middle of the road, light flashing.
Yeah, it was a little strange.
Yeah, it was a little weird. Yeah. So anyway, we got an email from John B., our buddy John B., and he said, I thought it was, you know, the groom wasn't supposed to see the bride in her dress before the wedding, and I really didn't.
No, you just saw the shape of it.
I saw the style.
Yes, yeah, style. That's good.
Not, I mean, the model number.
I had to take you with me.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't have a choice.
I know. Anyway, but the color, it wasn't the color.
It wasn't the color.
It wasn't the dress. So when the dress comes in, of course, you and the girls will go over there, and, you know, you'll model it and get it altered and whatever you need done. So.
Yep. Three generations of my family and my two best friends, so it'll be good.
And you're taking a caravan.
Taking a caravan, Mom and Brian, Teresa and Maria.
Nice. Very nice. Wow, cool. Where's our phone calls? They want us to hear talk about hunting and fishing and stuff.
That's because I'm talking about wedding again.
Yeah, I know. You're killing the show here, girl.
Okay, I'm being quiet.
All right, let's see.
If I start snoring, you all are gonna be sorry.
Oh man. Late fawns getting hit on the highway down near John's house. Six of them. That's not good. That is not good. All right. Let's see what's in the news. The Maryland Black Bear Lottery has begun. You can apply by August 31st. The lottery will be held September 5th, which is a couple days before the opening of the archery season, which is the 8th this year. So you can apply online. You can just apply like I do when I buy my license, my hunting license. I just use my DNR ID number. And You can apply online. You can just click it, check the box, and pay for it at the end. You know, like you're paying for your bow stamp or your muzzleloader stamp or your firearms license or your waterfowl stamp or whatever. You know, you can just go do that. But, boy, there's a nice bear in that picture. I'd like to get a shot at that bruiser. Man. Anyway, you can do that online, and it's open, as I said, to August 31st, and then after Labor Day, they'll draw that number. And your lottery number is your ID number. So when the lottery results come out, and you can check them online, all you do is go scroll down the list, look for your ID number. And last bear was I've applied every single year. This is how many years? Let's see. Now accepting, successful, 14th year. 14 years they've been doing it. Okay? I got picked the second year in 2005. I got picked in 2010. I got picked in 2015. Had a landowner take a bear on my permit in 2010. And then in 2015, I was hunting on the same land, and we shot two that night. The landowner got one. He had pulled a tag. And then mine showed up shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, exciting.
It's going to come to our house pretty soon, too.
Pretty soon, yeah. We're going to go see it today at the taxidermist. So, let's see. Here is Sharon in Hancock. Good morning, Sharon. How are you? Are you listening online?
Yes. No, I'm listening from my phone. Yeah, I'm streaming it from my phone.
Streaming it. Got it. So, what's up?
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought, you know, I just hear you and Robin all the time. Hi, Robin.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I just hear you guys all the time. I've been listening to you, Alan, for like a few years now.
Sure, appreciate that. Thank you.
Yep, and I love your show. Not a big hunter, but up here, you know, there's a lot of hunters.
Oh, yeah.
We moved up here to Hancock like in February.
Right.
And, you know, there's a bar in Little Orleans, Maryland, which is about 6 miles from here, 14 miles. It's like, it's called Bill's Place.
Oh, yeah, Bill's Place. I was there 25, 30 years ago. Still.
Oh, my gosh, we're still the same.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
And the motorcycle rally's coming up, so, you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, up here, like, you know, in hunting season, there's a lot of people in there, you know, camouflage and everything else on, and you know, it's kind of a peaceful place up here. We have deer in our yard, like, pretty much every morning.
Turkeys.
My husband, he's been getting bags of apples and feeding them, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you'll see them out there. But it's really beautiful, and there's foxes and everything. So we live off of 144.
Right.
In Hancock. And, like, yesterday I was coming home in the rain, and there's, like, should I just still call them fawns? I mean,
they're fawns. Sure,
okay.
Sure.
And, you know, they were standing right in the middle of the road, and this man or guy was on this four-wheeler, you know, up here. It doesn't matter. But he didn't have any helmet on, any shirt, and he's flying down 144, and here's two fawns standing in the road. And he just, like, you know, was beaming right for him, you know. And the poor thing just, like, had to jump over the guardrail. But, you know, it's a nice life up here, and the animals are just great. You
oh,
know,
yeah. Lots of turkeys.
We've got a couple bear in the yard and everything.
Lots of lots of turkeys, too. You know?
Oh, yeah, a lot of turkeys.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, this one man that lives off up here, he has, I guess, a pet one that he's raising maybe for Thanksgiving. I don't know.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, no, I always see him in the pet. I feel sorry for him, but, you know, everything's got to eat.
That's right. Well, sometime this spring, I guess, I was coming back from Hancock, headed east on 70.
Uh-huh.
And there was a pickup truck in front of me, and a pickup truck behind me. And a deer, big doe, jumped over the guardrails.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, man, if that guy hits that deer, I'm gonna run. It's going to be a rerun for me, you know? And
yep.
The deer came up over the guardrails, and it hit the side of the guy's truck.
Oh, my God.
And it caromed off and spun around, and I went by it. I missed it, and it spun around just in time to run into the side of the truck behind me. It was a white truck and a red truck, and I don't know which one hit it first. I think the red one and the white one. It bounced off the white one later. Of course, I'm already by, but I'm watching this in the rearview mirror.
I guess.
And that poor deer caromed off both of those trucks. and got off in the medium strip and took off. So
wow,
who knows?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to leave a mark. You know, yeah, you're not going to feel very good in the morning. So
we
ate breakfast up there not long ago, didn't we? Or lunch? What was it?
Was that Park and Dine?
Yeah,
Park and Dine.
Yeah.
We know a couple people that work up there. It's funny.
You know Fred, the owner?
No, I don't know Fred.
Oh, he's a good guy. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, all right, Sharon, appreciate the call from Hancock, Maryland.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yep. Have a great day, Sharon.
Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. There she goes. How about that? Ed in Rosedale got the ball rolling. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Hey, good morning, sir.
What's up?
I'm kind of worried about, I talked to a lot of friends of mine about the Chesapeake Bay because basically it's our lifeblood. And they don't seem to be interested in the problem with the Susquehanna Dam.
Who doesn't seem to be interested?
Anybody that's downstream, which is everybody.
I think the governor just made a statement about the sediment like a week ago, didn't he?
Yes. I mean, it's been full for years, but nobody downstream is worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a major problem.
Okay.
And it affects everybody downstream.
Well, tell us what you think the problem is.
The problem is the dam's full, and what do you do? Because of the age of the dam, and nobody seems to be addressing it. I mean, they've had the Army Corps of Engineers up there for about the last 3 or 4 years. Of course, us little guys, we don't hear about it, but it's. To me, it's a major problem.
Okay, I'm trying to see what I read about the governor here shortly, a little while ago.
Well, I think most of your listeners, they don't realize how important that is, but nobody seems to be. It's like something you put in your back. Just forget about it. Nobody's doing anything.
Well, tell us how you feel it's important, Ed. Just go ahead.
Because, I mean, it's a major tributary, and it's headstream, or the head of the dam is, my God, this thing's at least 100 years old, and, if it gives way or if it overflows, it's full. The next hurricane we have coming up the coast, it's going to overflow, and all that new grass we got up there in 6 or 8 years is going to be destroyed. And the dam is just, well, you know more about it than I do.
Mm, okay. Well, yeah, if you go across the dam, you'll see that it's a far drop to the downstream side, if you're going across behind, you know, where the gates are, okay?
Yes, sir.
And there's 20-some gates. I can't remember the exact numbers, and I'm not trying to remember exact numbers. Somebody can come up with more technical and detailed information than I can, okay? But they only open a few of those gates unless there's a rain like we've had, you know, over the nor'easter or something like that, where there's substantial rain. And then they continue to open more and more gates to move more and more water from the river into the bay. And the problem is, when they open those gates, they open from the bottom up, and the sediment that settles in from all the rain and all the soil washing in from the fields and the roads and everything else from upstream is clocked in behind that dam, and it's deep. It's 20-some, 30-some feet deep in sediment. So when they start opening more than a few dam or a few gates, and that water flow starts to flood downstream, all that silt and all that dirt, you know, covers all the rocks, it covers all the grass, and when you get your grass covered up, then there goes the health of your bay. You know, people don't understand how grass affects the life in the bay, okay? So we need to take a look at the grasses in the bay And what happens when they silt over? They can't photosynthesize. If they can't photosynthesize because there's too much crap on them, okay, that means that they can't take in the carbon dioxide that they need and exhale the oxygen that's needed for healthy life in the bay. Now, as you said, over the past few years, the grasses come back in a tremendous way. You know, and during Agnes in the 70s, 72, I think, that whole Susquehanna Bay, Susquehanna Flats, was wiped out. All the grass was gone, and it's taken decades to come back.
Right.
So, you know, that's the other thing about all the nutrients that we hear about in the bay, you know, that they try to control the nitrogen and so forth. When you've got those nutrients in the bay, you've got a tremendous algae bloom, okay, and the algae robs the oxygen, but algae also covers up the leaves of the grasses and doesn't allow the sun light to filter in to create chlorophyll. You know, and again, if the bay grasses can't receive sunlight, they can't do what they do to generate oxygen for the bay.
Right. I guess, Alan, I guess maybe I should have, I'm half asleep. I listen to you guys all the time. But
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we've got Tim in Port Deposit. And I would say he knows exactly what he's talking about. He wants to help you out and explain what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Before we go there, Tim and Alan, I'm a fisherman. I've been on both sides of the bridge.
Right.
High. And my main concern is, what are we going to do with the silt? I mean, the silt is done.
The thing with Conowingo is, Conowingo Dam, there's 70-some foot of silt behind the dam.
70-some. There you go.
Yeah.
And the dam was built in 1928.
Right.
So if you look at the front of the dam, that dam's 120-some foot tall.
Yes, sir.
Well, you think about this. There's 70 foot of
dirt
runoff from not Maryland, but Pennsylvania, New York.
Yes.
Correct.
It's filled up that behind the dam.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I'm concerned about.
And then you got, if you ever drive across a dam, you see that little crane they got there, all the junk that comes down.
Yep.
They have dumpsters that they continuously fill up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's full.
And when they get a big rain up in New York or Pennsylvania, just like we just had here a couple of weeks ago.
Today, this
week. They got to drop those gates open.
Right.
And I was in third grade in 72 in Agnes, they were going to blow that dam up.
Exactly. What I'm saying is, all the people downstream don't realize if there's a catastrophe there.
Haverty Grace and Perryville, and they all,
they'll be gone.
APG.
Well,
they all know that they're going to get wiped out because they're still.
Not only that,
for the water that goes all the way up to the Hope Dam.
Right.
The report I saw, that downstream is going to be effective for 30 years.
It already has been after Agnes.
Yeah, when Agnes, look, there's no ducks around here until here a few years ago.
When the grass started coming back.
Go to Craigtown Auto website. They have pictures of Haverty Grace back in 1920s.
Yeah,
they used to slaughter ducks.
Oh, wait. I can weigh in on that, Tim.
By thousands. I mean, boatfuls.
Tim, I can weigh in on that.
Yeah.
Okay. The canvasback duck was attracted to the Chesapeake Bay. It was a number one wintering grounds here.
Yeah.
Okay. They used to take, the canvasback duck got its name not only because it looks like canvas on its back, but they used to pack them individually in canvas bags for shipment all across the country, all across the world. They were considered a delicacy. And back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the market hunting was so extreme on the canvasback ducks that it led to the Migratory Game Bird Treaty. Okay.
Well, look at Senator Tiding's house. He lived on Oakington Road, right on that point. Okay. You had all these people that would come to spend, you know, he was a politician in Maryland.
They would
come here and just, the ducks would.
Look at the Wellwood Club.
Wellwood. You had Senator Tiding's house.
Yeah.
They would just come here and slaughter them.
Well, that was a little bit. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I don't know if it was necessarily the recreational guy. It was more. I'll tell you what, both you guys. Okay, go to the Harvard DeGrace Decoy Museum.
Yeah.
Okay, and read the history of the Susquehanna Flats. The Maryland Hunting Coalition has led the effort for the past 2 years, and hopefully into the next year, to make the canvasback duck Maryland state duck. And there's a reason for that. The historical significance to Maryland of the canvasback duck, not only recreationally, but commercially and environmentally, and what that the history of that Susquehanna Flats has done for wildlife in this country, as specifically mentioned Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 2016, I believe, or 1916, in part was spawned by the commercial slaughter of canvasback duck here in the Chesapeake Bay. And you go into that Chesapeake Bay Harvard DeGrace Decoy Museum, and you will see the entire history of that. And, I mean, I'm not beating a dead horse here, guys. We kind of got off the Conowingo Dam.
Yeah.
But the point is...
It's all connected.
It's all interconnected, and you're right. And when you say, Ed, when you say nothing's being done, I mean, there's report after report after report, and everybody knows the problem, just like Tim knows the problem. Okay.
Well, sitting there waiting.
I tell you what, I do restoration work, and I did the Lockhouse Museum.
Okay.
They will let you go up there. They have a file room up there. And they have, you can go there and look at all the files and pictures that they have.
Right.
The island, pool, or the island when it, you come across the Route 40 bridge.
Yep.
If you go on that island, when the shad used to come up the river.
Right.
They had canning houses on that island.
For shad, sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would can it and send it everywhere.
Right. And guess what? I've actually been up there right below the dam and fished for some of those shad on the shad survey. Our buddy Dale from Easton, who I had coffee with yesterday morning, used to run that program. He used to be the finfish program director for the Chesapeake Bay, and shad, hickory, and American shad was right in his wheelhouse. And through Dale, we had the opportunity to go up there and fish with Dale to catch some of those fish, tag those fish, take scale samples, measure those fish so that they could, you know, learn from those fish that we caught and tagged, you know, what was going on with the migration. Of course, there's not very many shad getting through the dam other than through that fish ladder.
Yeah, and so that ladder don't work.
Well,
there's something else up there I want to mention. I don't, again, want to get off the subject again, but I've been to the museum many times up there on the side, on the shallow side. All the ice and water used to come from there.
Right.
Well, if you go on the Craigtown Autos, they assure you that all the ice gourds that used to come through Port of Plaza
right.
before B&O came.
Right.
And they're... Our tunnels, both of our tunnels were built in Port Deposit.
Right there at Wally's Shipyard.
Yep.
And most people don't know that, but I don't...
No, most people have no idea what Port Deposit's famous for.
Well, I'll tell you what. At one time, Port Deposit was the most, back in the day, it was the richest county in Maryland besides Baltimore.
And what was it known for?
It was lumber.
Granite.
When I was in Germany three times. In Frankfurt, after World War II, they opened up the quarry there in Port. There's a plaque on a church in Frankfurt that granite was shipped to Frankfurt. They built a church after World War II. They opened up that quarry again, and there's a little plaque. And we got off the train, walked into Frankfurt. There's a little sign that says, thanks to the people of Port Deposit, Maryland. And I told my Army buddies, I said, let me tell you something. This little town is one street.
That's right.
Well,
yep. So
the way America should be.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, look, guys, I appreciate you raising the issue.
And then, look, Bainbridge, and you're talking about deer hunting. There's a lot of deer here at Bainbridge. There's 1,280 acres.
Right.
That hasn't been hunted legally since the 1940s.
Legally is what you said. So.
And there's monsters.
All right.
All right. Well, I wouldn't put that out there. Okay. Honestly.
I know you got to go, but I'm trying to spark some interest.
Well, you did. Right. You did.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks, right. Ed. Thank you, Tim. See ya. Oh, there they go. All right. Here's. Wow. Wow. All right. Here, you know, here's what we get. Okay. Here's what we get. So the study comes out. And it's no surprise. What these guys are talking about. So the assessment that they just did, this is March 10th, 2016. If you go to Conowingo Dam, shows time is now for collaboration and innovation on the Chesapeake Bay cleanup. But here's what happens, okay? You get the politicians into it. You get the people into it that, you know, should be concerned about it. And here's the quotes. And everybody has a quote. Maryland stands ready to work in collaboration with our upstream neighbors and federal partners to fix the shared sediments and associated nutrients problem. Maryland Environment Secretary Ben Grumble said, we must all embrace innovative and cost-effective solutions to ensure the cleanup of the Chesapeake Bay and reduce the Conowingo's impact on meeting our water quality standard in all bay segments. Whew. We are grateful for the hard work and energy put into this report, but action cannot end here, Maryland Natural Resources Secretary Mark Belton said. Maryland has worked hard to meet our Chesapeake Bay goals, so it is critical that we acknowledge that the sediment and nutrients coming from these dams greatly impact our state waters. They may even prevent us from meeting our Chesapeake Bay goals. We're therefore committed to working hand-in-hand with our state and federal partners and Exelon to resolve this issue. Wow. Sounds like a plan of action to me, doesn't it? All right. I want to tell you folks about Clyde's Sport Shop. I stopped at Clyde's last Saturday, and I had it's their 60th anniversary. I had a chance to talk to Bill about the early years. And I'm writing an article for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, and I hope you read it. It's about 60 years of Clyde's. So the other day, I had a few minutes, and I called Thursday, and I called Clyde. And I said, look, I already talked to Bill. I got his side of the early years, you know, and some of the things that happened during the early years. And, you know, can we have a conversation? Oh, when are you coming in? I said, well, or do you want to do it on the phone? I'd really like to do it on the phone. You got 5 minutes? Sure. What is it, an hour and 10 minutes later?
Mm-hmm.
We get off the phone. What a rich history at Clyde's Sports Shop. How they came into being, how the place was, you know, selling worms there at the, and where the worms came from. And during the heyday, the rockfish in the early, late 70s, early 80s, and how much bait was sold. You know, used to chum with clams. And during the heyday of the spot run, and how many bloodworms were sold, and the fact that the bloodworms were in short supply and there was a monopoly in the bloodworm supply back then. Yeah, there is. There was a bloodworm monopoly here in Maryland, no question. So we talked about all this stuff, and it's just fantastic. You know, Mr. Clyde, people don't know this, he's in his mid-70s, so is Billy. And, you know, been there selling worms, same location for 60 years. They had to start sometime. They talked about being in the National Guard at the same time. And they talked about Vietnam. And they talked about their dad and his history as a Pennsylvania Railroad policeman, which I didn't know. My dad was a Pennsylvania Railroad policeman, two separate towns. He was in Baltimore. My dad was in Altoona, you know. And talked about kind of a parallel universe there. It was very interesting. And, you know, I've known these guys since 83. So, you know, from half of that 60 years, I've been associated with Clyde Sports Shop and proud to be. So I will say this. If you need it for fishing, hunting, or crabbing, just go to Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108. Fishing hotline 24 hours is 247-FISH. You can call it and get the latest you know, where they're biting, what they're biting on, and that type of thing. But make sure you do. And if you want to visit their website, it's ClydeSports.com. Two S's in the middle. Clyde Sports Shop.
WCBM, Baltimore.
A rainy and windy start to our weekend. Widespread rains continue. Strong northeast winds off the Atlantic, 15 to 25 miles per hour. An unsummer-like area of deep low pressure just off our coast. And that's kind of fueling up all the wind and all the rain out there today. Showers ending tonight, 59 degrees, and still battling some flood problems here tonight. Then sunshine tomorrow, and a much different picture with low 80s for Sunday, mid-80s Monday. I'm Scott Laurie. I'm with the Weather Channel, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bed liners. Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the mid-bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBN.
Take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones. They're mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
Ba-dum-bum-bum. Ah, yes. That was back in the day, wasn't it? Back in the 60s, Mayberry time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. 410 WCBM 680. What do you think about what we talked about here? What do you think? Any comments on Conowingo? You know? Love to hear from you. But, I didn't have a chance there during the break to Google what I wanted to Google. But not that long ago, the governor just came out and said something about Conowingo. Rob, you have it up there? And you Google Hogan Conowingo or something.
You got it.
We'll figure out what it's all about. Anyway, our phone number here, 410-WCBM-680. I don't even know if we have time for another call. What do you think, Chris? We have enough time? So basically, I have to I have to, no, I don't know if we can even get that in. I'll do my best, though. All right. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We'll try to do one if we can. There's a call. Yeah. All right. There's Mark. Mark in Towson. Our buddy Mark. All right. Let's see what Mark has to say. Yep.
I said that one to you about Conowingo.
Huh? Did you? The governor?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Good morning. How are you two doing?
We're doing well. How about you?
Good. Where does the money go? I mean, we've all read the same estimates, over $1 billion to dredge Conowingo.
Yeah.
And the stuff, you know, it's a matter of perspective. What looks like silt and soiled us is fertilizer to the farmers.
Exactly. Exactly.
It costs so much to dredge it out. It must be EPA regulations and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's our total daily load, whatever it is, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, but you dredge it out.
Yep.
Dry it.
Yeah.
And sell it or give it to farmers for their fields.
Sure.
How can it cost over $1 billion?
That's a good question. Apparently, yeah, handling charges. I was going to say,
we don't know what
company out of South Jersey is doing the dredging.
Yeah, probably. I was going to say,
or North Jersey.
To buy myself a truck and a backhoe, but it's a little more than that. I'm going to need some private cars.
Yeah, it probably is. So I imagine it's fairly specialized, but we have dredging companies that dredge out channels in the bay all the time. I mean, how'd the shipping channel get there? Contractors that do it, but like you said, where's the money going to come from? And is it going to be federal money? You know, Trump announced that he was going to trash the whole Chesapeake Bay program. And the Chesapeake Bay Foundation turned, you know, the whole crew turned white. I mean, they just panic-stricken, you know.
Let's leave race out of it.
No, I wasn't. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it just went.
Yeah, they're terrified at fuck.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to trash the bay. The goal is to clean it up and restore it to a pristine condition.
Exactly right. And well, I mentioned the canvasback as a state duck and got blown away on that, but we point to the fact that as the canvasback returns to the bay, it's a good thing. It's a harbinger of the grasses coming back to the bay. That's why they left. When the grasses went away, the canvasbacks went away. And it wasn't just over-harvesting. We lost the bay grasses. So when the wild celery comes back, that's a symbol that the bay is starting to become clean again.
And yeah, sometimes a change is really a restoration to
exactly
the condition prior.
Exactly. And when the celery comes back, the canvasbacks come back. And that's the historical importance of the canvasback duck. So anyway, it's all linked together in the bill. We just can't get it passed. Get out, stay out, stay safe. Thanks, Mark.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.